exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Part one of our series called You Asked For It. That's what we're calling this series, You Asked For It, because you asked for it. You asked for the messages that you wanted to hear about. And today's topic is, like I said earlier, the number one requested topic of all of the particular topics. And that is, how do I deal with stress? How do I deal with stress and the tension and the frustration that we oftentimes wrestle with? Just by show of hands, how many of you guys have ever kind of experienced stress and have been in stressful situations? That should be everybody's hand going up, right? Because you've been stressful. You've been stressed out before. And if you're saying you haven't been stressed out, you're very delusional. You're probably stressed out right now. You're just blind to it, right? But all of us have dealt with this. And so I find it fitting that 2 years in a row, this was the most requested topic, because I think what that shows is that we need to know what God has to say about how do we deal with the stresses that come into our life. And so this series is the perfect series for you to invite people to service. Church family, what I'm challenging us to do as a church is to not come in service on Sunday and sit in these nice cushioned chairs on your bottom. But I want us, when we leave here today, this week, that we would be intentional about inviting others to be a part of the weekend service on Sunday, to be a part of what God is speaking to us throughout the course of these next few weeks. And so how to deal with stress. If you're taking notes, that's what I'm calling this message. How do I deal with stress? Now, before I kind of read the scripture, just to kind of open up this message, you know, around this time of the year, stress kind of begins to kind of get to like almost like an all-time high. You got school that's kind of starting back up. You got college semester that's kind of starting back up. You got all these things that are taking place that are coming off of the summer, you know, things that you may have neglected. Now they've kind of piled up. And so usually around the fall time, like the beginning time, usually when one season transitions to another season, it can be one of the most stressful times in your life. Matter of fact, that wasn't even in my notes. Let me kind of just stay there for a moment. That typically the most stressful times in your life happen when you're transitioning from one season to the next. And I'm not talking about just calendar season, like from winter to spring to summer to fall. But it can be when you are in a particular season of your life and you're transitioning to another season of your life. Usually in between those two seasons are the most intense of times. It's similar. My wife and I, we have 2 kids. We're actually expecting another in February. Bless God. Pray for us. Pray that God will send resources. I'm just joking. Pray that God will give us peace that surpasses all understanding, because there's going to be some stress there for a moment. But one of the things that happens in pregnancy, and I don't have experience with this. I've seen it. I've observed it. That there's a lot of stress going from pregnancy to delivery. Like usually before the baby comes, and when the baby's in the womb, from the time when the baby's in the womb to the baby coming out, you have this gap, and it's filled with a lot of stress and tension, and especially when you're actually on the table, and women, wives and ladies, you're getting ready to push that baby out. It gets intense. It is stressful, right? Now, I know that because when our daughter was born, my wife did something that she hadn't done when Josiah, our oldest, was born. And she knows what I'm about to say. She doesn't know, but she'll know. She'd be like, I did that. had to give that discretion there. But something different happened with Aubrey compared to when Josiah was born. When Josiah was born, it was almost like, I mean, he just came out. And it was stressful. But when Aubrey came, it was a little bit different, because it was a lot. It seemed like to me it was a lot more pain. It was a little bit more intense. And the reason why I say that on my end, I don't know how it was on her end, but on my end, she began to grab my hand, and I felt the stress, the tension, the pain, like I had never felt before. Now, the reason why this was very jarring in my mind, and why I vividly remember this, is because this didn't happen with Josiah before. It didn't mean it wasn't as stressful, but I felt the stress that time. Like, I felt it. Like, my hand could show for it. It was red. It was all crumpled up. You know, it was not pretty, man. But anytime you're going from one place to the next, there's always this season or this temporary moment of stress. And I think many of us find ourselves in those moments. That maybe part of the reason why you're stressed out right now is not because like you've done anything wrong. It's not because you've made poor decisions. It could be. It could be that was just a dumb decision on steroids, yes. It could be that maybe there were some things that I did that I probably should not have done. But on the flip side, I could just find myself in a stressful moment, not because of things that I've done that were bad, but just because I'm being where God wants me to be. And I think a lot of times that's where we find ourselves. Like we find ourselves going from one season to the next, and we're trying to figure out, God, why is this so intense? He says, this is called the transition to where I'm taking you to next. I hope that makes sense. But nonetheless, it's still stress. So the question is, so how do I deal with it? How do I deal with the stress that comes? Here's the thing that I really want us to understand in the midst of stress is that we all have different things that cause us stress. Like some of us are stressed out about bills right now. You're stressed out because when you look at how much money you have in your bank account and how many bills that you see stacked up in your home, you see this is past due, you see that's past due, and you're stressed out. You're freaking out. You're filled with anxiety. Kids are getting ready to start school this coming week, or maybe they've already started school, and so you got that type of anxiety and that type of stress that you're wrestling with. You got the stress of this relationship that's not working out the way you thought it was going to work out. You got the stress because the car broke down. You got the stress because your health and your body is not functioning the way it should be. Like all of us are stressed and have experienced stress with different issues. Like things have caused us stress that may be different from the person that's sitting next to you, but nonetheless, all of us get stressed, which is why the Bible constantly talks about things like worry and doubt and fear. The Bible has a lot to say. God has a lot to say when it comes to stress, when it comes to anxiety, when it comes to frustration. It's a lot to say about it. Matter of fact, if you read the book of Psalms, you see all throughout the Psalms, the psalm writers are just constantly talking about the anguish that they feel and the stress that they feel and the tension that they feel because of a myriad of different situations. But it's good news in it, man, that even in the midst of stressful situations, God says you can experience peace that surpasses all understanding. That you can still experience the joy that I want you to experience. Here's a scripture I want to read before we read our main scripture. John 16:33. It says this. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you're going to be stressed out. Let's just go ahead and get the elephant out of the room. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to have moments in your life where you are very stressed out. But, man, God's got a lot of big butts in the Bible, and they do not lie. Satan may try to deny, but his truth is real, right? But take heart. I have overcome the world. So Jesus is like, no matter what you've experienced, but I've overcome the world. So yes, you're going to experience trouble. Yes, you're going to experience stress. Yes, you're going to experience pain. But here's the good news, I've already overcome it. And so now the question is, will you and I believe what Jesus has said he's done? Or will you and I try to hold on and try to do things our way? How do I deal with stress? Now when we ask this question, many of us have different ways of dealing with stress. There's godly or healthy ways of dealing with stress, and then there's ungodly and unhealthy ways of dealing with stress. And there's so many things I can talk about as it relates to what's good, what's not good, what's healthy, what's not healthy. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about that. Matter of fact, I'm not going to spend any time talking about that because I think we all kind of know what's good and the things that we should be doing to handle stressful moments and what we shouldn't be doing. Anything that does not bring me life is not good when it comes to me handling the stress. We're going to talk more about it in a moment. So I want to go to our main scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, starting at verse 6. As a matter of fact, I want to read Philippians 4. Let's start there. Philippians chapter 4, here's what the Apostle Paul is writing to believers in Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, some of us are trying to figure out, like, what does that have to do with stress? It has everything to do with what stress is. It has everything to do with stress and tension and frustration because of the person who's writing these words. The guy who's writing these words is by the name of the Apostle Paul. He's one of the huge main people all throughout Scripture that God used to do amazing things. He wrote a good chunk of the New Testament. He was somebody that God used to plant churches in all these different areas to advance the kingdom of God. But when Paul writes this, y'all, he says, rejoice in the Lord I'll say it again. Rejoice. All throughout this letter, all throughout the book of Philippians, you constantly see words like joy and rejoice and gladness. Paul is trying to get us to understand something. To have joy and to have the peace of God, no matter what it is that you're experiencing right now in life. That the peace of God is not something that's pie in the sky, but it is something that you can access no matter what it is that you got going on right now in your life. No matter if you just lost somebody, no matter if somebody just passed away, no matter if you just hit a rock bottom moment, no matter if the bottom fell out on your finances, if you got issues going on in the home, Paul says you can still have joy in the midst of it. Why can Paul say that? I think it's probably because he knows what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Jesus said, I've already overcome the world. Paul is saying now the same thing, rejoice. And what's interesting about what Paul is saying is Paul, when he's writing this, when he's saying this, y'all, he's not writing this from like a beautiful place. When he's writing this letter, when he's writing to the believers in Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. Once again, I say rejoice. You know where he's writing this from? Prison. And not the prisons like we know of in the United States. Like the prisons in our country, the prisons in other countries were nothing compared to that of which Paul was experiencing back then. There was no light in his cell. There were no windows. Like, he didn't have access to the world. There were no visitation hours. It wasn't anything like that. Paul is in one of the worst conditions that a person could be in back in that time, but yet he is saying, rejoice. Rejoice. Now, for me, I think that gives Paul some credibility. Because it's one thing for you to say rejoice, you know, and you're in, like, a perfect situation. It's easy for you to say that if you're in a perfect situation. You know, family's good, finances are good, everything is working out, you're not battling with anxiety, you're not dealing with this, you're not dealing with this stress, you're not dealing with that. But Paul got a whole nother level of street credibility with me because he's writing this from a prison, y'all. Not for anything bad that he did. He's in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus. But yet he's in prison. And I think what Paul is trying to help us understand something is you can be in a time and in a season of your life that is filled with stress. And last time I checked, being in jail is stressful. I mean, I don't know about you. I wouldn't call it paradise. I mean, I just want to go to prison and hang out there for the day. It's stressful. Paul is in a stressful moment. But how he handles this stressful moment is how God wants us to handle the stressful moments. And I'm going to kind of show some practical things that Paul gives us here when it comes to handling stress. Because I know the question that you and I have when we think about stress is, so how do I handle it? What do I do with it? And I can give you like a whole lot of reasons, but I want to give you what Paul says here in Scripture in Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6. He says this. After verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Notice what he says in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. You know what Paul's saying? Don't be anxious about anything. I don't know if that, you know, caught traction in your mind. Some of us, that word anxious doesn't really kind of mean a whole lot to us. But in the original language, the same Greek word that was used for anxious that we see here is also the same original word that was used for a word that many of us do called worry. So here's what Paul is saying. Do not worry about anything. Once again, this is ludicrous for Paul to say, but remember where he's saying this from. He's in prison. If anybody had something to worry about, it'd be the Apostle Paul. Dude, you're in prison. You got every reason to worry. Are you gonna make it out alive? Are you ever gonna get out of here? You ever going to get some aid, some help? Paul says, do not worry or be anxious about anything. Here's what this helps us understand. Worry, I don't know if you knew this or not, worry is a choice. You and I choose to worry. We don't have to worry. It's a choice to worry. Now, I know that kind of seems like a very blanket and kind of, you know, easy statement to say, but it's the truth. And it's not something that you just see Paul mention here. You actually see the Lord Jesus say the same thing in Matthew 6. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Aren't you more valuable than the birds of the air and the lilies of the field? Then he says this. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? When was the last time you worried about something and actually changed the situation? Can we just have a candid conversation? Like, when was the last time you worried all night long and it actually changed the situation? It actually probably made you worse. Like, there's actually studies that show that things like worry and the things that we get anxious about, like, they legitimately cause us physical detriments. And God is giving us good news and saying, you don't have to worry about anything. There was a well-known person named Corey Ten Boom who says, worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry is not going to change tomorrow. Worry is not even going to change today. Worry doesn't add anything to your life. Worry takes away. Paul says, worry about nothing. Here's the first thing that I'm telling you, if you haven't already understood it and aren't taking notes. How do I deal with stress? Worry about nothing. Stop worrying about stuff right now. The question I'm going to ask you right now is, what are you worried about? And many of us came in here today worried about a lot of stuff. Worried about how bills are going to get paid. Worried about what you're going to wear. Worried about whether or not you're going to be good enough for this person. Worried about whether or not somebody loves you. Worried about this. Worried about that. Worried about if you're qualified. Worried about if you can keep up. You're worried about a whole lot of things. And Paul gives us good news. He says, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about where you'll live. Don't worry about stuff. It doesn't mean that stuff isn't important, but he's saying don't worry about it. I hope this is making sense, right? And so immediately, because I know some of us in here are very, you know, astute intellectually, very smart, you're asking yourself, so then, Pastor, what do I do? If you're telling me not to worry, what do I do? Here's what Paul says in that same verse. He says, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What is Paul saying? Instead of worrying about everything, pray about everything. Pray about everything. That's what Paul is saying. Pray. Instead of me worrying about how the situation is going to work out, instead of me worrying about whether or not I'm going to get that job, instead of me worrying about whether or not it's going to take place, I should just pray. Pray. I'm not saying stop there, but you got to start there. And you got to live there. Like, if you're in the middle of some stress and some tension right now, man, you got to pray. What I found is that it is much easier to worry about stuff than it is to pray about stuff. And what Paul is calling us to do, what the Lord is calling us to do through the words of the Apostle Paul, is to pray about everything that we deal with. Now, I'm not talking like use common sense. I'm not talking about like we pray about everything in particular. Like, don't pray, like, you know, should I pray about going to the bathroom? Go to the bathroom. Like, seriously. Like, if it's 100 degrees outside, you know, don't pray, God, should I wear a jacket today? You have a brain. Use it. Right? Like, don't take it that far. What Paul is talking about is the things that have caused you anxiety, the things that are causing you stress right now, pray about it versus worrying about it. Now, some of us in here, like, we kind of have the natural proclivity to worry more than others. That's just maybe our struggle. All of us have different struggles. Some of our struggles more than others is to worry about stuff. And today, I believe God wants to set you free from that pattern of lifestyle, that you don't have to worry about stuff, but rather pray about everything. Here's what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. Pray, it's two words. Pray continually. Some of your translations would say, pray without ceasing. In other words, I should look at prayer as an ongoing and open conversation with God, not a one-time or once-a-day thing. Pray on a regular, man. Like, surrender yourself. Instead of worrying about everything, pray about everything. Because here's what happens. Here's what Paul says happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe the reason why there's so much stress right now in our life due to worry is because we don't spend enough time praying. We spend more time worrying. And God is like, I can handle your situation. I can give you peace in your situation. But you got to come talk to me. Don't go try to fix it on your own. Don't try going to talk to everybody else, placing your faith in them. Nothing wrong with that. Have community around you. But man, come talk to me about it. I want to do something about it. Because when you talk to God about it, he begins to reorient the way you begin to see that situation. I believe when Paul is writing this, guys, he's not just giving like some good self-help wisdom. He's giving biblical truth that he himself is actually doing. Like, there's no way in the world you can be in prison and say, rejoice in the Lord always, unless you are in this posture of prayer. Pray about everything. Matter of fact, as a church, we just came out of this season called 21 Days of Prayer. And it was for this very thing, that we would cultivate a lifestyle of prayer. How much time do you spend praying versus how much time you spend worrying? Right? And I believe that the reason why it's so quiet right now is because all of us in here deal with this thing called worry. We could probably stop the message right there. Instead of worrying, just pray. Just pray. But it wouldn't be good enough, so we got to keep going. You got to pray about everything. Matter of fact, I'll give you a practical story. This past week, I was at a restaurant that I had got a gift card from a friend of ours. And this was actually like the second gift card that I had got, because the last time I went there and used the gift card, it didn't work. And then I got another gift card from my friend. So I go to this restaurant this past week, and you know, I happen to check before I even went to the restaurant. I'm the type of person where it's like, I don't want to be embarrassed in front of everybody, so I'm going to check the balance online before I step in the door. Because y'all ain't going to make me look like a fool talking about something. Your card don't work, declined. The devil is a liar. I'm checking this thing. Right, so I get on the website, I check the balance, it says a certain amount. Awesome, cool, I got money on the card, free meal today. God is faithful. So I go in here, place my order. He swiped the card. Sir, there's nothing on this gift card. And I'm like, no, that can't be right. Because I checked. So she swipes it again, nothing, right? And so I was like, ma'am, I don't know what's going on here. I just know I checked the card and it said I got a certain balance, and you telling me it's nothing. I don't know what's going on. So then she goes back and calls like one of her other coworkers. She comes in there. She tries to swipe like four or five times. Nothing happened. Like nothing, it looks like nothing's on the card. So then they go get the manager. Hey, Hacho. So I'm like, word, I'm going to get some satisfaction here. Maybe he knows something that the employees don't. Cool. So he swipes the card like twice, and he just starts shaking his head. He's like, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, what's happening here? Because I'm thinking I'm going to get a free meal. I wasn't planning on paying today. The way my bank account works. I'm just joking. But, like, wasn't planning on doing this today. And so then he says, hey, let me just take you on this other register, because by this point, there's a line in here. Now, I already told y'all, I don't like going into no restaurant getting surprised. So I'm sitting in this joint like, y'all making me look crazy right now, man. I don't like these type of stressful situations, right? And so he puts me on the other register, tries to swipe again, nothing happens. Tries to swipe again, nothing happens. Tries to swipe again, nothing happens. And so then he says, you know, I don't know, you know, what's going on with the car. You know, did the person who gave you the car, you know, are they trustworthy? I said, this dude done asked me, is the person that gave me this car is trustworthy? Yes, they trustworthy. Y'all ain't trustworthy. Y'all ain't loyal, right? And so I'm like, okay, like, all right, so what are we going to do? He said, so here's what I want you to do. Pull up our corporate number and call the number. I'm like, oh, all right, hold on now. I done used my gas, spent my time to be in here, and you're going to tell me to call corporate? And so he's like, sir, I don't know what's going on, and so I'm going to just be real with you guys. I just walked out. I said, okay, have a nice day. I just walked out. Probably wasn't the most spirit-led thing to do in that moment. I just felt like giving them a rock bottom and a people's elbow, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to my car. Bye. Bye, Felicia. Just go. So I get in the car and like I'm just hot. I'm talking like, and I don't get upset a whole lot, but I get upset when like somebody's like put their time and resources into something and then it's not coming back and they're not getting what they're supposed to be getting. So I'm just frustrated in the car. So I pull out my phone and I pull up their app on the phone or their Facebook page and I just start just typing away. I'm so dissatisfied and so disgusted by your service, this, that, and the other. Not the Christian thing to do, but I'm just going in right now. Just being real. Don't act like you haven't done that before. You do it all the time. Right? So, like, I'm literally texting away. And then I just sit in my car. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm going back in there. I'm going to get my food. I'm going back in right now. So I get out of the car, slam the door. Y'all thought I was like, slap somebody. Didn't slap anybody. Slam the door. Slam the door, kind of. You know how sometimes, like, you slam the door and they don't slam the way you don't get the same gratification when you slam it? And so that kind of happened, and so I was feeling a certain way. I felt like God was trying to humble me right there. Say, dude, that's not even worth it. Why are you getting upset about something? And so I go back in the restaurant, And I say, hey, man, listen, I know you checked the car, man, and everything, but something's going on. I don't know what's going on. And so I was like, on the website, I just checked again. It says I got a certain balance on the card. What's happening? So he pulls him up. He sees my phone. He checks. He looks at the balance. So then he gets on the phone. He calls corporate, and he starts to talk about everything that's going on. So in the meantime, as he's on the phone, I'm just stressed out. I'm like fuming on the inside because I'm like, it's been 30 minutes, dude. My food should have been here by now. And I'm like, this is crazy. And prior to this, I'd already spent like 2.5-3 hours preparing this message for you all. So then God starts to convict me. He says, you're stressed, aren't you? I was like, doggone right, I'm stressed. Getting here and gift cards not working. What's wrong with these people? Just can't get it right. He says, why don't you just pray? I want to pray. Why? Okay. So I'm sitting there as he's on the phone. And you know how you try to do like the fake thing? Like on the inside you're boiling, but on the outside you're smiling, you know? Killing them inside your mind right now. So I just start praying. Lord, just give me peace. Because I'm stressed out right now. And I'm stressed out about something I probably shouldn't even be stressed out about. So just give me some peace. Literally after I pray that prayer, dude gets off the phone. He says, hey man, we found out something's going on with our gift card system and this, that, and the other. So don't worry about it. Hey, y'all go ahead, fix this meal. It's on me. We're going to take care of it. You want anything else in here? Get whatever you want. It's cool. Next time you come in here, I'll take care of the gift card. You tell them that I'm going to take care of it. I said, thank you, Lord. That's all you were trying to get me to understand, was to just pray in that moment. Pray. What if the very thing that you're trusting God to do, or the very thing that you're trying to see happen in your life, that you're worried about and you're stressed about, maybe the key to you actually seeing it happen is prayer? Not worry. What is it right now that God is trying to get you to pray about instead of worrying about? And I know my story kind of seems a little bit trivial because I know many of us are dealing with other type of issues. You're dealing with health-related issues. You're dealing with relationship issues. You're dealing with financial issues. You're dealing with so many different things. But at the core of it, it is still the same issue. It's causing worry. It's causing anxiety. It's causing stress. And God calls us to go to him in prayer about it. So I want to challenge us to pray about everything. Here's what Paul says next, verses 8 and 9. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Here's what Paul, I think, is telling us next, that we deal with stress by worrying about nothing, by praying about everything, and by thinking life-giving thoughts. Having life-giving thoughts. Thinking about things that are life-giving. So what consumes your thought life? Because that is going to determine how you can handle the stressful situation that you're in. Paul, how did you handle when you were in a prison cell? Because we know that it wasn't the most comfortable environment. We know that it was probably hot or maybe it was cold. We know it wasn't the most favorable environment. We know you weren't getting room service whenever you requested it. We know you were chained to a Roman guard in some capacity. Like, how did you deal with that? And I believe if Paul was here telling us, like, interview style, he would say, my thoughts had to be centered on things that were life-giving. So even though I was in prison, I couldn't think like I was in bondage. I couldn't think of things that were not true. I could not think of things that were not pure. I could not think of things that were not life-giving. I think that's what Paul would tell us. I'm pretty sure that's what Paul would tell us, because he kind of gives us a clue in that here in verses 8 through 9. He says, whatever is true. Do you spend more time meditating on the truths of God or the lies of the enemy? Because one will lead to life, the other one will lead to distraction and destruction. What do you think about? Y'all remember that saying back in the day, it says you are what you think. I believe that is the case. Just as you are what you eat, you are what you think. Here's a question I want to ask us. Why do we put so much emphasis on what we put on our body, but not put a lot of emphasis on what we put in our mind? Y'all ever think about that? Right? So we go on like vegan diets, right? I'm not eating any more fried chicken, I'm done. That's cool. But do you give that much thought and careful attention to what goes in your mind? To what's happening in your mind? So on the outside, physically I look great, but mentally I'm a wreck. Because I'm not thinking about things that are true, things that are noble, things that are right, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are admirable. He says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How do you think? How is your thought life? Because one of the ways of handling stress in a life-giving, godly way It's by thinking about life-giving things. All of us in here have a natural bent to either we are optimistic or kind of pessimistic about things. Do you see the cup half full or the cup half empty? Some of us need to be delivered from skepticism, because you can't even look at anything that's pure and actually believe that it's pure. You always think, you're always looking for an angle. You need to be delivered from that. That's called skepticism. Like somebody comes to you and is like, man, today is a great day. Are you sure it's really a great day? Why are you thinking like that? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Like, some of us need to be delivered from these toxic ways of thinking, right? Like, because if not, then we'll never be able to appreciate the good that God wants to do in our life. Like, God can legitimately bring you a blessing, but you'll sit there because your thoughts aren't right and be skeptical about it the whole entire time, which will cause you to miss out on it. God is saying, man, if you want to be delivered from some of these stressful situations, in the middle of stressful situations, you got to start to think about what you think about. What's consuming your thought process right now? Is it truth or is it lies? Are you always thinking that somebody's out to get you? Are you always looking at a certain ethnicity of people saying, oh, I don't trust them because of the color of their skin? Why should they trust you then? Because that's not loving. That's not the gospel, right? Like, how do I think about things? How do I look at my job? Do I just say, man, I hate this job. I can't stand this job. Or do I say, you know what? This isn't the most favorable job, but I bless God that I got one. Like, how am I thinking about these things? Because Paul says, I was in prison. And the only way I can make it through this stressful time is by thinking about things that are true, things that are life-giving. Here's what Paul is really saying at the core of it. I'm thinking about the one who gives life, the one who gives life-giving thoughts. Here's what Hebrews 3:1 says. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Life-giving thoughts are found in Jesus, the giver of life. You want to know how you can get through stressful moments? Start thinking about Jesus, y'all. Think of what he did for you on the cross. Think about how he spilled out his blood for you on the cross. Think about how he resurrected on the third day so that way you could have new life. Think about how he provided for you. Think about how he gave you peace of mind. Think about how he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Think about those things, because when you begin to think about those things, you will see that though the stressful situation may not change, you'll change in the middle of the stressful situation. Start thinking right. Get your mind right. Get your mind right. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. Notice what Paul says again in verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Once again, he mentions this whole aspect of peace. Peace was attached to prayer. Peace was also attached to life-giving thoughts. Maybe part of the reason why we don't have peace right now in our life is because our thought life is so messed up. It is so toxic. Maybe the reason why you can't have functional relationships is because your thinking is dysfunctional. Maybe the reason why the stresses of life are piling up on me so much is because I'm not looking at them in the right posture. Here's what Paul says next. He says, after you think about what's life-giving and you're praying about everything, you're worrying about nothing, he says, be content with what you have. Be content. Verses 10 through 12, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. Everybody say it with me, content. Say it one more time, content. Content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul says that the reason why I was and am able to endure stressful moments is because I've learned the secret to being content with what I have. Question I want to ask us today is, are you content with what you have, or are you constantly trying to acquire more? Are you content? I'm not saying that you don't have goals. I'm not saying you don't have dreams. Dream. Dream dreams. Have goals. But be content. Be content. Part of the stress that may be due in our life because of the fact that we're not content, so we just buy stuff. We just run up credit cards. We buy things that we can't afford with money that we don't have. And so it causes all this discontentment. It causes all this stress. And Paul is like, be content with what you have, whether well-fed, whether hungry, whatever it is that you have. You may not have the biggest house. You may have a small apartment. You may have a small townhouse. You may have one car. You may have a little bit of resources. But God is saying, be content with what you have. Be content with it. Like earlier in this chapter, early in this book, around chapter 2, Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing. So don't complain about your situation. Be content. Be content. I know what some of us are thinking. How can I be content when I don't have enough money? I'll tell you more about it in a moment. But Paul gives us the first instruction with it. You got to be content. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. If I got some clothes on my body and some food in the refrigerator, oodles and noodles, Frosted Flakes, filet mignon, whatever it is, I'm going to be content with what I have. Here's why. He says, those who want to get rich, I want y'all to hear this, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Verse 10 in 1 Timothy 6, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. He's not saying there's anything wrong with money. You got to have money to pay bills, don't you? Ain't nothing wrong with it. He says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs, or like I would say, many stresses. You're stressed out because you're trying to chase a dollar. Paul is like, be content with where you are. Be content with what you have and trust God to provide what you need. Be content. Contentment is when you're grateful and satisfied with what God has given you in this season of your life, whether you have a lot or a little. You may not have a whole lot of money. You know what? Bless God for it. Be content with it. You may have a whole lot of money. Man, you know what? Bless God. Be content with it. You may only have one car. It's four of y'all in the household. I don't know. Be content with it. God has provided. You may not have the biggest house that you always wanted. You may not have accomplished all the goals that you may have wanted to accomplish, but Paul is saying, you know what? Be content. Be content. Nothing wrong with taking steps forward, but be content with where you are. Contentment is not about having an abundance of resources. It's about having the abundant life that Jesus gives. That's where contentment is found, in the life that Jesus gives. And let me kind of just bust the bubble just in case some of you guys are thinking that I'm off right here. God never promised to give you everything. Like, he ain't never promised in the Bible to make you a millionaire. I don't know if you didn't know, like, if you knew that or not. Like, he never said, you know, you are my son and my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. I'm going to make you a millionaire. No. He never said that. Well, what did he say? He said, I will provide for you. I will comfort you. I will meet your needs. And what happens is when we try to meet our own needs, that's opening the door for discontentment to come in. That's when you end up making compromises. That's when you end up, for lack of better words, selling your soul to be able to get an advance in a career, to be able to get an extra dollar. And Paul is saying, be content with what you have. Paul says, I know what it's like to have a lot. I know what it's like to have nothing. I know what it's like to have clothes. I know what it's like not to have clothes. But you know what? In every situation, I count it all joy and I'm content. Because I know my relationship with God. I have access to the one who has cattle on 1,000 hills. I know that he will meet all of my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. If I have a relationship with my good Father, he's going to make sure that I have everything that I need when I need it. That's the truth. The question is, will you believe that truth? And here's the last thing. I want to end the message with this. Trust God in all things. That's what Paul is saying here in verse 13. He says the scripture that many times people put on their bumper sticker and they use for all types of motivational speeches. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Paul says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. But in order for you to understand the power of this verse, you got to know the context in which he's writing it from, which is everything that we just said. Paul said, I know what it's like to be content. I know the secret. In any and every situation, I can rejoice in the Lord always. I don't have to worry about anything. I can pray about everything. I can think about life-giving thoughts. Why can you do all those things, Paul? Because the source is Jesus. I don't rely and trust on my own ability. I trust in the ability of God. So the reason why Paul can say, don't worry about anything, the reason why Paul can say, pray about everything, the reason why Paul can say, think about life-giving thoughts, the reason why Paul can say, be content, is because at the core of those things, those are the outflow or the product of a person who is grounded in a relationship with God. When you have a relationship with God and you know God personally, meaning you've trusted in his son Jesus for your life, for your salvation, for your forgiveness of sins, when you have access to God through faith in Jesus, you can do and say all of these things. In other words, guys, this isn't something that you just tap into years from now. This is something that God wants you and I to tap into right now. Because many of us came in here today stressed out. Many of us came in here today dealing with a lot of issues. Many of us came in here today dealing with frustration. And Jesus is saying, would you put your faith and trust in me? Because through me, all these things will be taken care of. So when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, I don't have to worry because I have the power of Christ. I can pray about everything because I have the power of Christ. I can think life-giving thoughts because I have the power of Christ. I can be content in every situation because I have access to the power of Christ. Is this making sense? Is this sinking in? This is what Paul is saying here, that you can do all these things through Christ who gives you strength. You can overcome stress. You can deal with the stressful moments when they come in life. And I know many of us in here have different professions that we're getting ready to go back to. It's a three-day weekend, and you're like, thank God that I got a break. But you're getting ready to go back on Tuesday. You're getting ready to go back into a mission field. You're getting ready to go back to a war field. And you're going to be hit with all these different type of stresses and these pains and these frustrations. And you're going to find yourself asking the question, how do I deal with this stress? And I pray that God will bring back this message to you in this verse where Paul says in verse 13, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Amen. Come on, that's a great place to put your hands together and say amen. That is the truth of God. So it doesn't matter what you experience. And yes, I know our experiences are different. I know, yes, that we have these crazy experiences. You got a bad report from the doctor. You lost a loved one. You're struggling financially. But man, the source, even though the struggle may be different, the source is the same. And his name is Jesus. He says, I've overcome the world. Have joy. That's why Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Who? In the Lord. Not in yourself. Not in your circumstance. Not in your situation. Not in your bank account. Not in your relationship. Not in anything else. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to challenge us to do today. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Question I want to ask you is this. How are you handling the stress that comes in your life? How are you dealing with the stress right now in your life? Because God has a simple answer. He says, trust in me. Trust God in all things. Trust in what he's done for you. How do you know God is trustworthy? Because he who raised his son Jesus from the grave on the third day is for you. And all you got to do is trust him. But Pastor Edwin, you don't know what I'm up against right now. I don't know what you're up against, but I know the God who can conquer it. I know the God who has conquered it. You don't know the anxiety that I'm wrestling with right now. You don't know the stress that I'm wrestling with right now. You don't know the tension and the weight that I have on my heart right now. I don't know those things, but he does. And I can tell you this, that he's the answer. He gives peace that surpasses all understanding in the midst of those stress-filled, anxiety-filled moments. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says it like this, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Cast your cares. You are carrying many of the stress that you and I carry was never meant for us to carry. It was meant for us to place on the back of Jesus. He says, come to me all who are tired, weary, heavy laden. You know what he's saying? Come to me all who are stressed out. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. In other words, he says, being connected to me is a burden lifter. You can handle your stress, the relationship with Jesus. But you don't know the job that I'm going back to, Pastor Edwin. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what I'm up against. You don't know how I just hate that environment. You don't know how people in my life right now are just torn me down and don't speak life into me. I don't know those things, but I know the one who overcomes those things. I know the one who can give hope. Matter of fact, hope has a name. His name is Jesus. And I believe that many of us here this morning are stressed out, going through, battling anxiety. That's what Paul was talking about. He was talking about you. But the good news today is that you can overcome it. You can overcome the stress. You want to know why? Because you no longer have to be given over to stress. Because you can give your stress over to Jesus. That's why. I want you to get this in your heart this morning. my hope and my prayer for you as your pastor. And even if I'm not, even if you're a guest today, my hope and prayer for you, period, because I love you, because I believe God has a plan for your life, is that you would live not a stress-free life, because I don't think that's possible. I think you're going to deal with stresses all the time. But I want you to live a joy-filled life in the midst of stress. That when stress comes in all different directions, you're able to put your faith and trust in Jesus. You can say what Paul said, I learned how to be a base and a bound. That's what translation says, because I'm in Christ. I'm anchored in him. So even though the waves of life come and bring all types of stress, I can be anchored by the gospel of Jesus. So if you're here this morning and this is you, you're stressed out right now. Here's what I want to do. I want you to be honest with me, because I'm going to pray for you right now in this moment. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and come to the front. But I want you to be real. Nobody's looking. It's just you and God. But if you can say, honestly, I'm stressed out right now. Man, I got a lot going on. I'm battling anxious thoughts, and I'm wrestling with a lot of stuff right now. And I want this hope and this peace that God gives. I want to be able to walk in this joy every day, even in the midst of stressful times. If this is you, you fall in that category, would you do me a favor? Would you be honest and lift up your hand so I can pray for you? If you're in the middle of a stressful situation right now, be honest. Lift up your hand. Your hand is a sign of saying, God, this is me. I'm stressed out. I'm battling anxiety right now. I'm wrestling with these thoughts. Come on, lift up your hand. Thank you for your honesty. Amen. Lift up your hand. If that's you, be honest about those things. Father, for every hand that is lifted, even if for every person who didn't lift a hand but is dealing with stress and anxiety right now, I pray, Father, I pray Philippians 4, 8, 7 over them. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that it will guard their heart in Christ Jesus. I pray for every person who came in here burdened by different things, stressed out about different things. No matter the situation, I believe in faith, Lord God, that you give peace in the middle of these situations, that you control the outcome of every situation, that we no longer have to be subjected to the stresses that we experience and that we deal with, but rather you've given us not just practical steps, but you've given us promises that even in stressful, tense moments, we have access to you and we have the peace of God. Jesus, we thank you because you came to make us at peace with God the Father. But in addition to that, you came to give us the peace of God the Father. So even now, as we have placed our faith and trust in you, for those of us who are Christ followers, I pray, God, that we would feel that right now. I believe that you're doing a work in us right now. I pray no matter what we're up against, we're seeing it, we're feeling it right now. And even though our situation may not change, even though we still may kind of go back to moments or to places that are filled with a lot of craziness, a lot of tense things, Lord, in the atmosphere, God, you said that you would give us peace in the midst of it. So God, we possess it even now. We believe that you've already given it to us, and we're going to walk in it. We're going to declare it. We're going to decree it. We're going to speak it of our life, God, that we are people of peace. We are people who have been reconciled to you and been reconciled to one another, that we have peace with you, and we have peace that comes from you. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, and while every head is bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you don't have a relationship with God, here's the perfect opportunity for you to experience it. God is saying, man, the one thing that I want more than anything else for you, it's for us to be connected. It's for us to have a relationship. Friends, I want to let you know that it's not about coming to church. It's not about coming to a service, man. It's about you being in a relationship with God. And I want you to ask yourself this honest question. Am I really in a relationship with God? And if you can't say yes emphatically, then that's you. Or if you're basing your relationship with God based upon you coming to a church service or based upon you reading a Bible, you still don't have a relationship with God. Because your relationship with God is not predicated based upon what you do. It's having faith in what Jesus has done for you on the cross and through his resurrection. And if this is you this morning, you're saying, I want this. I want peace with God. I want a relationship with God. And today, I want to step into one with him. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I can have new life in you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for adopting me into your family. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done this morning. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Amen. Amen. So here's what I want us to do just before we prepare to go. I believe that many of us in here, we've kind of fallen into one of those two categories.